Would you join me, please, in John's Gospel again, chapter 1, at verse number 4, the first two words of the verse. Underscored by that which was read in our portion of the Word this morning. First two words, I draw your attention there. Verse number 4, in Him. In Him we live. Our past messages have included, most recently, the Divine Manifest. And we call to mind the words by the same apostle, that in this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. John, in these verses, says this: in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, that all men through Him, according to verse number 7, that all men through Him might believe. All men, any man, might have life, new life, eternal life. I say all men. Old men, young men, middle-aged, white men, black men, red men, yellow men, rich men, poor men, all men, any man. Respectable sinners, not so much respectable sinners. The worst of them or the best of them, all men, any man might have life, new life in Christ, eternal life. Now, on 50 occasions, at least 50 occasions, does the apostle use with great emphasis the theme of life in his gospel and in his epistles. Truly in Him is life. Now, you know, you've heard people say, sometimes sarcastically, to another person, why don't you get a life? You know, why don't you just get a life? Or lamenting, others will say, you know, I just don't have any life. I don't have a life. And then others on the bright side of the mountain will say, life is good. Life is good. When the Steelers are winning, especially when the Buccos win a World Series, life is going to be good. If Penguins win a Stanley Cup this year, life will be good. Life is good. Little times, many times, however, do people realize the futility of life without Christ. Life outside of Christ. Life that's indifferent to Christ. The announcement, first of all, is made in John chapter 3, verse 15, where we read this morning. And please notice the numerous repetitions placed purposely by the Spirit of God, I believe, for double, triple, quadruple emphasis. Speaking to what the Old Testament prophets generated in their writings, that God exclusively, by Him and through Him, emanates life. John 3:15, we read this morning, said, whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. As a saved person, having received new life in Christ, do you realize that your eternal life has already begun? Your eternal life has already begun. Though there may be, not necessarily absolutely, but there may be an interruption, the body may falter, and your family may place you below the sod, yet Jesus gives some certain very specific assurances about the other side of that. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now that's the announcement of the Word of God concerning life in Christ. Whosoever believeth in Him, exclusively Him, only Him, will have eternal life, not perish. There is also the necessary acquisition, for one must believe. One must believe, and believe, of course, is synonymous with faith. And faith tracks us back to the very statements of God. And if God has said it, as He has in John 3:15 and 3:16 and in other places, if God has made that announcement and you believe that announcement and your focal point is Christ, only Christ, only Christ, then you will never perish. There is a song, one of my favorite songs I heard this morning when I was getting ready, getting shaved, trimmed and stuff this morning on my way to church. It's an old Negro spiritual I love dearly. And they could sing it at my funeral. I'd maybe get Bob and Dan to work that up into their schedule when that time comes. It says, in the morning when I wake, give me Jesus. In the noontide, during the daytime, all through the nighttime, take the world, but give me Jesus. And in the morning, when I die, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Take the world. You may have all this world, but give me Jesus. Jesus only, Jesus always. Give me Jesus. John chapter 5 and verse 26 says, "For as the Father hath life in Himself, so hath He given to the Son to have life in Himself." Now there speaks to the acquisition, to the announcement. One must believe. The statements of God are clear. There are several I ams, in the Gospel of John. Marvelous places in Scripture. And all of them speak to life. You might want to follow along if you can go quickly. The first one I want to point out to you is in John chapter 10, verse 11. One of the great I am passages. Not only does it underscore what we have already learned in John chapter 1 about the deity of Christ, for the statement that Jesus makes in each of these places refers back to the sovereign, pre-existent, self-dependent only deity. He says in John chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." And in verse 15, the same chapter, he says, "I lay down my life for the sheep." I lay down my life. And then this tremendous, tremendous blessing of the I am passage in John chapter 11 at verse 25, where he says, "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now there you see is the impetus that comes out. It's expressed in that little song, "In the morning when I die, give me Jesus." Why can I have that hope? I know that it is appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. But I also know that death does not necessarily, is not an absolute. For you and I both live in the moment where we believe that the trumpet may sound and signal our release to glory. And bypass the grave. And here you've been paying all these years premiums for your life insurance to bury you, when in fact you might not have to be buried. And we believe that. We believe that because Jesus has said that. "I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Well, it may be that that old nemesis, the grave, may be your lot. Maybe as early as tonight or tomorrow, for me, for you. Who knows but God. And the assurance that we have, having acquired this life, granted by grace through Almighty God, that is only, shall we say, a temporary resting spot. before the body is summoned out from beneath the sod into the very presence of God Himself. Renewed, remade, without sin. You know, Jesus also said in another I Am passage, John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That speaks to access. In Him we live. The announcement is clear. The acquisition is necessary. Whosoever believeth. Access, absolutely clear as well. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the life. The pre-existent God of glory has taken on human flesh and He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And we remember that John's purpose for writing this great gospel in chapter 20, verse 31, he says, these are written, these great I Am passages. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Now, what does that mean exactly, through His name? You know, I can take a checkbook, your checkbook or your checkbook, and you fill it out except for the signature. And I'll take your check in whatever amount you want to cash. I'll put my name on it. Then you take it to your bank. And if the banker's sharp, and they usually are when it comes to money, they'll see that check that you've made out for $1,000, and they'll see my name on the bottom of it. What's your chances of getting $1,000 in your little grubby paw with my signature on your check? Will my name count for anything? Nothing. Nothing. On the other hand, should you be accused, wrongly no doubt, of having bilked or embezzled your friend's account, and you know you're innocent, I know you're innocent, but you still must face the magistrate. And so what I do for, on your behalf, is that I will show up with you at the magistrate, and I will be a character witness for you. And so when you are called to answer the charges, I say, look, you can trust me. My name is good in the community. This person is innocent and ought to be acquitted and set free. What are your chances, based on my name recognition in the community, of going free on that occasion? What do you suppose the chances of the judge passing sentence and acquitting you? Not a bit. Nothing. But when you and I, with the prospect of facing the judge of heaven and earth, do stand before Him absolutely guilty, there is no other name that can be effective to present a case for innocence for you before that righteous judge. Only through the name of Jesus Christ. And so He, by the authority of His name, the very Son of God, fixes His signature, etched in His own blood, on the decree for you to go free. It is through His name. There is no other name. If you're looking around for an easier way, if any sinner looks and says, well, I don't really want to die, and I really don't want to go to hell, and I don't like the idea that I'm condemned already, but I'm looking for an easier route, something that's not so humiliating and something that's not so humbling, something that I could be really sure of, something that I could carry about in my pocket everywhere I go, so that if for some reason I might die, at least the card is there, they'll know where I'm going for sure, and I can have that assurance next to my heart every day. You look in vain. Because you see, there is this truth. In Him is life. And there's another I Am passage in John chapter 15. In John chapter 15, I am the vine. You are the branches. then his promise, great promise. He that abideth in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. There's the abiding in him. Abide in him. In him is life. And listen, come back into this matter of acquittal. It is to him that all the prophets witness that through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. If you want a rock solid assurance, if you want to carry something around next to your heart everywhere you go, carry Acts chapter 10, verse 43 around in your heart. Let me say that again to you. It is to him that all the prophets witness that through his name, Jesus Christ, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins, forgiveness of sins. And then there is this notion that I want you to see, that in Acts chapter 17, if you turn in your Bibles there, this is a very compelling portion of Scripture to think about. Acts 17. And I'd like you to read with me, beginning at verse 28. It says there, please notice right away when you read the verse, for in him we live. If we say nothing more, but it goes on. In him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your own prophets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Come back up to verse 28. In him we live and move and have our being. First of all, I want you to think with me about the starting point. When the Apostle Paul wrote to the Ephesian Christians, relative to a verse we were talking about this morning in Sunday school, Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 to 6, where it says there, that God hath chosen us in him. In him, before the foundation of the world. And then it talks about in that sixth verse that you and I, get this now, in him is life, that we have been accepted in the beloved. Accepted. Now in him we live and move and have our being. We were chosen in him before the foundation of the world and therefore accepted in the beloved. And that having been saved, we might be found in him having the righteousness of God. But in him we live, says verse 28. In him we live. Exactly what does that mean to you and me? And there are some other places in the scripture that I want you to think about, because it has everything to do with appropriation. In him is life, and the life was the light of men. Appropriation. You know, Jesus said to the devil in Matthew 4, verse 4, these words, man shall, absolutely, positively, man shall live by the word, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we live and move and have our being. How so? By the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Appropriate. Jesus also said in John chapter 6, verse 51, I am, another great I am passage, I am the living bread. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. Appropriation. It is not enough to intellectually or academically affirm the truth of the deity of Christ or the saviorhood of Christ, as good and noble as that may be, it must be absolutely taken to heart, believed on in the heart, appropriated, internalized. Jesus said, "I am the living bread. Man shall not live by bread alone, the stuff you get out of the store, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." We ingest His Word. We live and move and have our being powered by His Word. And then I want you to remember what I already quoted for the necessary assurance in John chapter 11, verse 26. "Whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." Question to you this morning. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? Do you honestly believe that? "Whosoever liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." And obviously He's not talking about physical death per se, so much as the release from it. You see, that when Christ came, He came to conquer the one who had the power over death. And inasmuch as He went to the cross, shed His blood, was raised from the dead, God having been satisfied with His sacrifice, He's done just that. He has put to flight the one who had the power over death. We live and move and have our being in Him. You know, it is also a clear picture of authenticity when the Apostle Paul told the Roman Christians, "The just shall," next word, "live by faith." Live by faith. Where do we get faith from? Well, you got to go to school to get it. You got to buy it. If you don't get it in school and you can't buy it, where do you get it from? Where does faith come from? Well, it's something that in the passing of time I learn, and faith just grows in me. No. Faith is a gift, and it is the gift of God, given freely by God to all them who will believe in Him. It's a gift. And so the just shall live by faith, and because they do, they are unable and unwilling, uninclined to live in sin. That being the truth, you are called upon, as am I, as we live and move and have our being in Christ, according to Romans 12, verse 1, to present our bodies, what kind of sacrifice? Living sacrifice. God is not interested in dead sacrifices, because in Him is life. And then there is this verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15. In Him is life, and in Him we live and move and have our being. Therefore, they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto God. In Him we live and move and have our being. Paul to the Galatians says this, "The life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God." The life I live by the faith of the Son of God. And then right there in the following chapter, 3 verse 11, to the book of Galatians, he again says, "The just shall live by faith." In Him we live and move and have our being. I thank God every day I can get up and walk. I thank God every day that I got strength of arms and hands still. I thank God that my eyes still work, my ears still work somewhat. There is an on and off button there now. I've acquired that habit over the years. And that's a good thing. I thank God that the brain still works and can put two things together sequentially, sensibly. I thank God every morning I get up and I see the beautiful dawn. Thank Him for the beautiful sunset. Thank God for sleep. In Him we live and move and have our being. In Him is life. And they say, you need to get a life? Where outside of Christ would you go to get it any better than what you got it now? Pardon my language. New life in Christ, abundant and free. That having been saved, that we might be found in Him, having the righteousness of God. Indeed, rightness, not just partially, but totally. Scriptures also teach us that it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwell. In Him. I want you to look with me as we conclude this morning in Colossians chapter 2. For the application. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 6. As ye have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. Walk in Him. And then verse 7 says, rooted and built up, where? In Him. Established in the faith, the just shall live by faith. And then in verse number 10, you are, this. Listen, sad soul, doubtful soul. Verse 10, you are complete. Next words, in Him. You're complete in Him. And it's the same root word as seen in the word fullness in verse number 19 of chapter 1. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. You are complete in Him. All that God has ever expected He will do with you, all that He ever planned He would do with you when He saved your soul, He's already done it. That in the eyes of God, you're complete in Him. And yet you and I wrestle with the practicality and the application of the truth. That sometimes the gap between what God determined we shall be and indeed will be has not yet come to fruition. That there's a gap between what we are and what we will be. And so how do you apply this truth of life in Christ? The Apostle John in his epistle, 1 John 2 verse 6 says this, He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. That's the application. Jesus, when He manifested Himself in human flesh, subjected Himself voluntarily to all the frailties of the flesh without sin. He gets tired. He got tired like you and I get tired. And right about now, your belly clock is going off. He got hungry like you get hungry. And when His best friend died, He cried like you would cry. And when He went to the garden hours before His crucifixion, He got fearful like you would get fearful. He that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. How so? How did He walk? How did He walk? John says, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Sinneth not. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true and are in Him that is true, even in His Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. In Him alone is life. And so I say again, in the morning when I wake, give me Jesus. And in the hours of every day, As I walk along in this world's way, the winding path I tread, give me Jesus. In the morning when I'm sick, in the morning when I'm sad, in the morning when I suffer, give me Jesus. And in the morning when I die, give me Jesus. In Him is life. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the abundance of life. For life now and life forever in Christ. May the children of God rejoice in that. May those outside the ark of safety envy it and accept Your gracious invitation to come, knowing that You will not cast away any who do so, who come in faith, believing. Please, Lord, accomplish that in the lives of all those who need Jesus this day for His sake. Amen.